You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Massive Report podcast, the special Godfather 1 and 2 length edition, I think, tonight. Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to keep this brief because we got a lot to get to. Please like and subscribe. We'll hit that right off the jump, or Murph is going to reach through the screen and slap me. Hey, Ari, you got the Saucy Brewworks copy you wrote up ready?
Sure did. Yeah, guys, remember Saucy Brewworks, or Saucy BWSC, is the best bar in Columbus, SC, and place to be in the world. Saucy Brewworks. If your brew works, then why not be saucy with it? So go check them out.
I love that. And until they actually send us copy that they want us to read.
Yeah, and that's remember, what they might be Saucy BW soon. They might go with that rebrand. So watch out.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for that. Murph's here, Bart is here, Ori's here, Alex is here. He's like a bull in the getting ready to go out into the rodeo ring. He's fired up. Sam is here running the controls, and we might even get Sam fired up, which would be an accomplishment, because you're a very even-keeled guy, which we need on this podcast. I'm Brian from CD92.9, and we have two special guests tonight. Jeff Barger from the Noradec board will join us here in about a half an hour. And apparently he wrote a report on this very popular crew rebranding. And he has I cannot wait to hear what he has to say, because he's known about this a lot longer than the rest of us have. And here's where the lawyers get. Yeah, are there any lawyers in the house? No?
All right. Bart's wife.
Okay. Bart, have your wife on standby. We might need her.
Yeah. We'll have her ready.
And joining us, an occasional visitor and always so welcome, T-Bone from 97.1, the fan from deep within the bowels of his home bunker studio. T-Bone, how are you?
Oh, I'm... It feels like every time I talk to you guys, it's either an anniversary or somebody is trying to like steal something important from the crew. So either way, it's good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we'll let everyone rant here in a few minutes. But Murph, you're one of the two seasoned journalists on this podcast. And I kind of wanted you to bullet point this thing from when we started hearing about it on Friday. Then I went to the match on Saturday, and I wasn't even really thinking about it that much, because I thought it was just like, it's just one of those misunderstandings. I'm sure it'll be fine. I just want to enjoy the game, which I did. But in the meantime, there was all kinds of hell breaking loose. Can you bullet point this for us?
Absolutely. So from my understanding, this goes back well beyond even Friday. And I'm talking like 2 years in the making of rebranding conversations between ownership and the front office, getting designs mocked up and all that. You know, that stuff doesn't happen overnight. And apparently they've been looking at this for, you know, well, even before we heard from our friend Mike Arias from the Dispatch putting out an article in, I think it was January, that they were talking about changing the colors, which was, you know, denied. But I believe Mike's reporting. So this goes back a ways. And from my perspective, over the past, I'd say 3 weeks, I've had various people just like casually asking me about, is there going to be a rebrand? Have you heard anything about a rebrand? And people that not, you know, some of them being fans who are pretty dialed in, but, you know, some people I know that have connections with Adidas and things like that, that, you know, got me kind of looking into this. And then I think by now most people know that Friday there was a meeting with the Noradec leadership board where they were presented. And obviously that did not go well. I think that's despite the NDAs that were signed. I think a lot of that information has come out to the public thus far. Saturday was when it really started, you know, especially if you were on social media during the game, started to leak out that something was happening. And you know, there wasn't a lot of information about what was going on, but that there was some sort of rebrand coming here soon. And from my understanding, the plan was to kind of have a slow rollout this week with the actual presentation, so to speak, on Tuesday, which is today, which is why we decided to record today. Obviously, that got bumped up because on Sunday, the logo got out on a it was like a hoodie image that got out, and that was not something apparently that anyone with the Nordex saw, so they are not to blame there. But that obviously caused a big stir on Twitter. We put out our story shortly after. I got yelled at for that a little bit, which is fine. And then Monday they decided to do the full rollout of the images and everything. So Columbus SC, the official name of the team. My understanding is this isn't supposed to start until 2022, but there's a lot of merchandise out there already.
Yes.
Obviously, just before we started recording this at around 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, there was on Twitter, apparently around Columbus, they've put that graphic of the C shape on mm-hmm. everything that starts with the C. So, you know, I imagine that was part of the rollout, but as far as I understand, the team is going to continue to wear the current crest, I guess I'd say, until the end of the season. I don't think the jerseys are changing crest. But that's kind of how it all happened. I imagine there's still some stuff this week that we'll continue to see around the city or whatnot that's part of the rollout. But that's kind of how my understanding and what I was able to learn of how this got from, you know, an idea to Monday afternoon.
T-Bone, what are we mad about here exactly? Because I feel like I'm getting so many mixed messages. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, it's like a sort of a hippie vibe I'm getting from the crew where it's like, hey, Rob, you know, it's whatever you want it to be. If you want it to be the crew, it can be the crew. If you don't, you know, it's okay. And there's like, we want to emphasize Columbus, but we already have Columbus in our name. It's, I'm just left sitting here going, what is this thing? And beyond, it's whatever you want it to be, man.
Yeah, it is. I think that's what's frustrating is that this has been so poorly done. I mean, there's a lot more to be mad about with the logo is terrible, taking away the name Crew. And I know a lot of people feel various levels of angry about each of those problems. But at the end of the day, and as I'm sure Jeff will tell us later, you'll find that, like, if you follow this story down to its roots, you'll find that this is a story of supporters telling the front office, here's what we think you should do. We think you're headed down a bad pathway. This probably won't end well if you do this. And the front office said, thanks, but we got it, kid. You're fine. Like, go over there, sit in the corner and shut up. And then they rolled it out and everyone hated it. And now they've been trying to scramble and try to figure it out. But at no point has there been an apology or an acknowledgement that they've messed this up. Even if they aren't going to change anything, like there's a lot to unpack from this, but at the end of the day, the biggest way they have to go forward is they need to apologize for the way this has gone. And it has gone extremely off the rails. I can tell you, I think Pat got some of this as well in his reporting, but I can tell you for sure, I know that Saturday after the game, they were having meetings and they were panicking about how people were responding at the game. Like at the game, front office people were cornering supporters and saying, I got to talk to you got a second. I got to grab you. Can we get a, and asking them like, what do you think about what you're hearing? And like, just they literally started freaking out about this before it even got out because they knew how bad it was. So it's such a botch from like top to bottom on this. It's unfathomably bad. It's unfathomably bad.
T-Bone, I'm dumbfounded and I've already heard this from other people. I cannot believe that after they've watched the Save the Crew movement, they bought the team, they know the story. This story in soccer circles is known around the globe. Hashtag Save the Crew. It was a big freaking deal. Crew, part of that. I'm baffled that it didn't occur to them that this would go over so poorly. To the point, I'll tell you what, I was having fun on Saturday. I'm glad nobody grabbed me and wanted to talk to me while I'm trying to enjoy the game. I was like, well, maybe if you buy me a $12 beer, I'll talk. But you know, otherwise leave me alone. I'm trying to watch the game. It's, and I feel bad for the players, you know, they're mm-hmm. being drug into this and asked about it. People are, you know, people are being hung out to dry. Dr. Pete is having to be the face of the ownership group in this. it's very cowardly, and it shocks me that an organization that is so sharp at player personnel and building this great roster and winning a cup, they're so on point and all of that, are completely lost in terms of marketing and media relations. And this is not a new thing. This has gone through several owners where sometimes you just smack yourself in the head. It's like, is anybody in charge in those departments? Bart, you and Alex certainly have your pulse on the supporters, and you're totally embedded in that culture. I imagine you've been, first of all, Bart, have you met anyone who likes this among your circle of supporter friends?
I have not yet. I actually, G-Bag threw out a tweet yesterday calling for anybody who, you know, was any new fans that are jumping on the Crew 96 bandwagon. Now that there's that new support, the new logo and new Columbus SC name, because that last, the Crew name and the old crest was just too off-putting for them. We've gotten some responses, but I'm gonna be honest. I don't think any of them are particularly genuine. What I would say is, here, I'm just going to read from the 1,000-word unabridged original official statement from GCG back. No, I'm not going to do that. But I will say that what I have in to T-Bone's point, I have not heard a single convincing data supported argument from a business standpoint for this rebrand. I've heard people that, you know, have said things like, you know, do you go to soccer games to adore a logo, or is anyone saying we can't call them the Crew? I just don't get the angst. We're about to have a brand new stadium and have an MLS Cup winning team to watch in, and we're worried about a 2-inch patch on the shirt. And to that I say, that's a very convincing argument not to do a rebrand right now at this particular juncture. So that leads me to think that there are two things behind this, and it's either it's either one, a Haslam vanity project, which that is a billionaire owner's prerogative, and I think it's something, you know, that we should look at clear-eyed about what their relationship is with fans, if that is the case, or two, that it's part of a broader, more overarching league directive. I'm just, whether it was a, you know, little nudge with the new ownership coming in, or whether it was, you know, written in stone. DJ Switzer from Wrong Side of the Pond pointed this out. I'm going to just quick read off every expansion or rebrand in MLS since 2015. New York City FC, Orlando City FC, Atlanta United FC, Minnesota United FC, Los Angeles FC, FC Cincinnati, Nashville SC, Inter Miami CF, Austin FC, Charlotte FC, St. Louis City SC, Montreal Impact become CF Montreal, and the Crew become Columbus SC. There is a trend, or is it a directive?
Well, this blob will eventually work its way westward and even swallow favorite son Seattle. Do they dare twist the beloved Seattle Sounders into becoming FC Seattle or Seattle SC or Seattle Football Club or whatever?
Technically, they are Seattle Sounders FC already.
Yeah. All right. But
well, we were Columbus Crew SC.
Yeah, all right. So, you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Bart. This is a Don Garber thing. In his dream world, it would be MLS and all the teams would be known right by their number. Team one versus team 14 tonight on, and team one will probably be Austin against team 14 Atlanta or something on national TV. But and maybe T-Bone remembers this movie. Remember Repo Man, where they used everything was generic in the store? That's what MLS is going for. They're going for this overarching sort of league feel, where the teams are subservient to this overarching sort of bland. It blows my mind that soccer, the most community oriented of all professional sports, and they're forcing this sort of generic bland branding on everyone. If we wanted to be generic, Alex, we would be FC Cincinnati. I don't think we want to be that.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think that we can blame Don Garber for this as much as I would love to blame Don Garber for everything. But let's say Don Garber told the crew that they needed to change their name to something with SC at the end. Cool. What ownership could do if ownership was 50% of what they have told us for the last 2 years that they were, they could have said, hey, we're considering a rebrand. We would love your thoughts. We're going to set up a bunch of focus groups. We're going to get your feedback. We're going to consider all angles on this. We're going to be completely transparent as we go through this process. And we are going to come to a solution that we think is going to enhance the, you know, longevity and, you know, stability of this club for the future and for future generations, blah, blah, blah. That's not what they did at all. They went into a room with a group from the UK and started work on something, didn't tell anybody, came up with something that they apparently were a little bit concerned everybody would hate, and then dropped it on everybody a couple months before this brand new stadium opens up, sabotaging this club that they claim to love. I have zero faith at this point in our ownership, whether it's exclusively the Haslams or the Haslams and the Edwards families. They have disappointed me more than I thought humanly possible that they were going to do. Everything seemed to be going well. They seemed to be saying all the right things. And what we're seeing now is that they were just words. They were saying the right things, but that's where it stopped. It stopped at the words. The actions did not follow through.
T-Bone, we're going to put you in the front office now. I'm in favor of that. We'll give you a title, director of marketing or director of saving this terrible enterprise that they're foisting on us. You have the table. What do you tell them to fix all this? You're muted. Can't hear you.
I unmuted.
There you go.
Rookie mistake. It's only been a year and a half. How should be over that? If I'm in the front office tomorrow morning and they're saying, okay, we realize we've made a mistake, what do we do? The first thing they need to do is get Jimmy, D, JW, Whitney, I don't know, Shep, whoever I don't know all the Haslam kids. Get everyone who's responsible for this. Get all the Haslams that are responsible for this. Stop having Dr. Pete be the guy. Get in front of a camera and number one, say, regardless of what the rest of this is, we are sorry for how poorly this has gone. We are sorry that the supporters groups were treated wrongly and don't feel like they've been engaged. And we are going to work to make this better. If it were up to me, the next thing the Haslams would say out of their mouth is, we have all these things up in the stadium. We just slapped them all on. We've got those t-shirts out. We've got that logo up. We are willing to take all of that off the table if it will make our fans feel welcome. But we do feel this needs a rebrand. We want to be transparent, and we're going to start a transparent process to rebrand this club with the supporters, with the longtime stakeholders, with new fans who have just come in the last couple of years. Involve a lot of people, but do it in a way that allows for everyone to kind of feel good about where we're going. And also make clear the name we're rebranding to is Columbus Crew. We can have a DBA with the league that's like, we're technically Columbus Athletico Soccer Club Inter, whatever. Like, the name that we give to people when they say, what's your team name? Who is this? You say Columbus Crew. And that's it. And if you want to say Columbus on the crest and not have crew on the crest, that's fine. But the team name is Columbus Crew. We apologize to our supporters, and we want to make this right with a transparent process going forward. To me, that's what I would do if I were running the front office tomorrow morning. I can't really make the Haslams do that, but that's what I would do, is say, we need the Haslams on a screen up telling the fans what's going on and apologizing for how poorly this has gone.
Yeah, it'll be interesting tomorrow when we flick on the Toronto telecast as to what the bug in the screen will be. Will it be Columbus FC, Columbus Crew.
They've already got the new logo on the MLS website and everything, on the standings, all that stuff. They were fast with it.
Hey, I know you have to run, T-Bone, and you're welcome to hang out as long as you want, but we don't want you to feel obligated to stay and listen to us rant any longer than you can possibly take. I'll leave that up to you. But I don't know if you saw the exchange from MLS and Zach Steffen on Twitter.
Yes,
where MLS said something like, "We've been for Columbus since 1996," and his response was, "Nah."
Yeah, it's great. That, by the way, that would be a Premier League champion, Zach Steffen, by the way. Not that about Manchester City winning, but that would be the first American player who's appeared for a champion.
Why? Why'd you have to do that? That didn't need to be.
I was going to bring it up first and then make fun of Pat for it.
We love Zach.
I'm sorry. Wait, guys. I brought up Manchester City. Some of you may not be aware. They have a round logo, and I know it tends to blend in with everything. So if you're lost on who I'm talking about, and they don't feel very international to you, I apologize. They are a round logo team. So you have
like Blue Circle FC, right?
So hard to know who they are. Yep.
Well, I think Zach put it best. And, maybe Alex is right. I got so many bones to pick with this league. I tell people all the time, I go, I love the Crew. I hate the stinking league and how it's run, the whole thing. I don't care how any of the rest of them do in the Champions League. I don't give a crap. I'm a Crew fan. And as far as I'm concerned, MLS should be cleaned out top to bottom and completely restaffed. I'm sick of Don Garber. He's got to have something to do with this. I'm convinced the guy is a snake and he needs to be, let go in the woods or something. It's just, it's time. It's just, his leadership is appalling, and they're living on expansion fees at this point. Let's have a vision for the future that doesn't involve messing with the supporter base at every turn. And that's what they do. That's what they do. And I don't get it. It's like, why does MLS have so much contempt for their most dedicated consumers? And we just take it. We just take it. And we saw, now I'm not in favor of people invading a stadium or anything like that, but we saw the passion and how it can kind of go cattywampus with Manchester United. We saw how the Super League was shot down in 3 hours. You know, when are these people going to get it that, you know, you can't just continue to mess with the supporters and expect subservience? This is different than other sports. It just is. And maybe they'll get it someday. I don't know. You think they'll get it someday, T-Bone? I told myself I wasn't going to get all sweaty and fired up, but here I go. It's just the overarching contempt for the fans.
The question of whether or not billionaires will ever see it the way of the people who sit rainy Tuesday
night. Yeah,
you're right.
You know, you're right.
I don't know if they ever
will.
But they also have ears just like we do. They have brains just like we do. And maybe if we keep saying it loud enough, the same voice, the same message, maybe they'll get it. Maybe they will. But
well, we did. Supporters did kill the Super League in record time, so there is hope. Well, T-Bone, you hang out as much as you want and weigh in as much as you want. Is Jeff here yet? No?
Yep, I'm on.
Hello. There he is.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Jeff. We were having a debate before we went on as to how to pronounce your last name, and I apologize for that. That's pretty rude. How should we pronounce your last name?
Barger.
Barger. Well, I just lost
That's
10
what we
bucks.
Thought.
I just lost 10 bucks at Bart.
I told you.
Yeah, it's really funny because if you're, I think, north of the Mason-Dixon line, it's Barger. And if you're south, it's Barger. So I've been dealing with this my whole life, you know.
All right. Well, this is nothing new for you. You are on the Noradec board. How long have you known about this rebrand? And if there's... I don't know what you've signed, what you've been forced in duress to sign. Obviously, we don't want you to get sued, so don't say anything that's going to get you in court.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. So at this point, I think everything has been essentially made public from a timeline perspective. I think the ESPN article that came out covered a lot of it. So I'm the communications director, but I'm also a marketing person. I work in marketing. And so I was asked to take a look at a potential rebrand that might be happening, you know, and to be clear, the Nordic and Nordic leadership had been reaching out since January of 2020. And saying like, hey, like, you know, there was this big, you know, upheaval in January, and we know that something's probably going to happen. So like, let us be a part of it. We want to help. We want to, you know, do whatever we can. And we didn't hear anything. And all we got was the same thing everybody got, which was, you know, it's going to be a minor rebrand. There's going to be some tweaks, the name, the color, they're fine. And, you know, the article that's now circulating like crazy on Twitter. And so they said in January of this year, they said, hey, we'd like for you to take a look at it and give us your opinion. I said, okay, well, I'm one person. I can't do this as the board. I can't do this as a representative of the board. But if you'd like for me to take a look at it as a marketing person and as a fan and give you some feedback, I'm happy to do that. And they said, sure. The only way we're going to let you do it is to sign an NDA, though. I said, okay. Because again, kind of expecting my thing. So that's the first time I saw it. And feedback that I gave them when I saw what it was, which was not a minor rebrand, was this is not going to go well, essentially. The word that got published from ESPN was catastrophic, and that's accurate. I said it would be a catastrophic thing, and strongly advised them to immediately begin working with the fans. At that point, they went away. They said, okay, well, we'll talk about it. They went away, and really I wasn't looped in on anything else until Friday when they rolled it out to the Nordic board. They invited us in to show us what it was going to be, and that was the first time I saw it, and none of the recommendations that I had made had been changed. So,
well, Jeff, as a marketing professional, are you more upset over the actual the visuals and being unhappy with those, or are you upset at the way that this was presented, as you know, you can take it or you can shove it and we don't care? Where do you fall on that?
That's a hard question, because I mean the triangle, right? Like, what is that? What is it doing? You know, and so I think you know, there's certainly problems with the design and stuff like that bothers me. I think how this was done, though, is the bigger issue, honestly. To have the engaged, committed, organized, and developed fan base that we have, I mean, to have the number of contacts that they have in the community that they could go to and say, hey, we'd love your guys' feedback, that would eagerly participate. And for that just to not happen at any level, in any element, I think it's just such a failure and a missed opportunity. And so, you know, I think that the way that it was done was really bad. I think that not giving people the opportunity to have a voice in it is honestly the biggest problem, because, yeah, you know, we saved the crew. And to consider changing any element of this club and its heritage and its history without talking to the people that were involved in that is just, I mean, to me, that's, how else could this have gone but the way it has at that point?
Murph?
Jeff. Yeah, Jeff. Some questions from kind of a bigger standpoint. You're a guy who is, you know, in charge of the Nordic board. Not everybody is involved as you are, but what do you kind of say to the rest of the fan base? Just, you know, what's your advice to, everyone's going to handle this differently, but like, what's your advice? What is the Nordic kind of position on what you do now? I've seen people saying they want to get rid of their tickets. I've seen people saying they're never going to buy anything again. You know, what advice would you give people?
So the first thing that I'm going to say to people is make your voice heard. You know, let them know that you don't like this, you know, and that you want change. Now, by no means, you know, harass, call, bug, spam, dox people. Like, we heard some reports about that. That's not what we want, you know, but call and let them know that you're upset. Let them know that you don't agree with this, that you don't feel like this is okay, and that you're considering these things. Let them know that you're considering canceling your tickets, that you're not going to buy merch. Because at the end of the day, you know, as you guys have talked about, this is a business decision. It's something that they decide to do for business reasons. And if they don't think that it's in the best interest of the business, that's going to really hinder the decision-making process. You know, beyond that, we're actually organizing right now on our end internally some stuff that is going to be rolling out over the next couple of weeks in the next game, to kind of give guidance on what we think people should do. Because here's the thing is, I think, and I could say this probably for everybody in this call, we still support the players. We still want them to be on the pitch. We still believe in the club and the team. But obviously, this is a huge misstep, and it's something that has to be fixed and addressed. And so we're working on ways right now that we can do that. But I think to everybody out there, hold strong. Don't just accept that this is your fate. To the point about the Super League, that was quashed in 3 hours because, you know, hundreds of thousands of people across the continent said no collectively. We've said no before in this city, and we've stopped our club from disappearing. We can say no again. so hold your ground, and I think that there'll be a solution. And call me crazy, but I'm optimistic. I think that there's that a solution will come, because I also don't think that the front office is naive enough to not realize this is not going the way that it should.
But Jeff, we were talking before you jumped on at the top of the podcast about trying to understand what it is that they're saying to us, because in my mind, I'm hearing so many different messages. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like, well, you know, it'll be whatever you want it to be, man. If you want it to be the crew, it can be the crew. If you don't, that's okay. Is that just backpedaling without really having a plan? Or I'm just, at the end of the day,
you know, I
think I'm just confused.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. I think everyone is. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen, I'm sure you have, the graphic that has all the different logos and names on it that they put out. And it's like, there's 6 logos and 5 names. What am I supposed to do with that? Like, if I'm going to invite friends who have never been to a match before, which I do, I have tickets set aside every week for that, right? Like, who do I tell them they're going to come see? Like, what... If they don't know the crew because they're not in the group, do I call it Columbus SC to them? Because I don't want to do that. Like, what is the logic? And I, to your point, I think that's a train wreck. I think that is like a failed point. And it's something that I've brought up and others have brought up in the past of like, you can't have a club with 5 different identities. And you know, the examples they use of like Monterrey with Rapidos and other clubs like that. Sure. Those clubs have a nickname. It's a nickname that was developed over, you know, decades, you know, years and years and years that has been existed with it. Like that's why that is. And they embraced it. This is us doing away with our identity. This is us stripping our identity and our heritage out of it. And that's the part that I think is the biggest problem is you can't have multiple identities, and to go the route that they've gone does not it diminishes the core identity of this club in place of something that everybody has said it's generic, it's MLSification, it's not what we wanted.
When you try to do five identities, right, you end up with no identity, and that's exactly where we are right now, where, you know, this crew, right, you know, the Columbus SC thing, you know, we didn't save Columbus SC. You know, that was not the hashtag that was trending on Twitter for 2 years. You know, that's not what we all went through. And I think that anyone who is looking at this from the outside, and honestly, I think this is kind of where maybe the Haslams got a little bit mixed up, was they simply saw this as a marketing rebrand, not taking into account everything that we went through in recent history with Save the Crew and the emotional ties that we have to that phrase, the crew, as a result of that, you know, really genuinely traumatizing experience that a lot of us went through. Right. You know, it's really hard to explain to someone who is not a crew fan how downright miserable we all were when we thought that we were going to lose our team, and to lose that name, the crew, now, you know, feels like we're back in it again. And it feels like we've got to fight for this again. We've got to fight to save the team again. I get it's just a name, and I get that they're still going to be using it on like secondary branding and everything like that. But they don't understand the way that fans interpret that, how insulting that is.
Right.
and why fans are reacting the way that they do. I think that on some level, a lot of the people in that front office were caught completely off guard by it, and they shouldn't have been. And the fact that they were means that they don't get it. They don't get it, just like Andy Lochnane and Anthony Precourt didn't get it. They have learned nothing, even though they bought the club from the people that put us in that position to begin with. It is so disappointing to me. And I have been a season ticket holder for over a decade, and I am so close to walking away, because I said it on Twitter earlier today, sports are meant to be fun. They are not meant to be exhausting. Being a Crew supporter for the past 3 years, 4 years has been exhausting, and I'm sick of it. I should be loving every minute of being a Crew fan right now. We are MLS Cup champions, and instead we are all miserable on Twitter, screaming at the top of our lungs for the club not to do something that we all know is a bad idea, and they're doing it anyway. It's so disappointing.
And I completely agree with that. And I think that what's fun, I was just saying, I completely agree with that. And what I think is so funny is when they talk about being a global brand, when they talk about global recognition, I have friends that live in Europe that sent me pictures of them holding Save the Crew signs from the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin, from, you know, the original Hofbräuhaus in Munich. Like, you know, I had friends that were, you know, went to Hertha Berlin and Bayern Munich games and held up Save the Crew scarves. My wife and I went on our honeymoon during Save the Crew, and I was walking across the Piazza del Popolo in Rome, and somebody screamed Save the Crew at me. I didn't know who it was. I had a Crew shirt on, and they did it. And they're like, we're trying to develop a global brand. I was like, I was in the middle of one of the most populated global cities on the planet with a t-shirt, and somebody screamed this at me from else in their space.
That's amazing.
You have a global brand.
You can't can't buy that. You cannot buy that.
Right.
Well, and it's, I think, one of the several people that I've talked to have brought up similar things about, you know, Save the Crew did create that, and they didn't use those people who helped get that message out there to, you know, if you want to globalize and talk to the people who've already done it type of thing. But
yeah,
Jeff, I wanted to ask you, because we've heard Pete talk, because he's kind of been thrown in front of TV cameras and whatnot. And obviously Bez spoke to ESPN, but you were in the room with these guys. You've talked to multiple of these guys, and as much as you can say, just what was the response when you guys said what you thought and how you were going to handle it? What was the feedback you got back from them about going ahead, considering anything? What did they say to you?
I'll say as much as I can here, but I think for the most part, there was just shock on their part. I think they thought that we were going to love it. I think they were like, this is a whole, like, even though I wrote an 18-page report that said this is going to be catastrophic, I think they thought that this was a home run, and that they were just genuinely shocked when the very first response was, this is bad. And they kept trying to kind of reiterate the logic behind it and the value proposition and all this stuff. And we just kept saying, look, no, we understand. Like, we're not confused as to how you got to where you got. We weren't lost in the presentation. This just isn't what people want and what we want. And I think they were just, honestly, I think they were just shell-shocked by that. You know, a term I've heard used was like, that from their end was that it was like being in front of a firing squad, because we just came at them rapid fire with questions, just tearing it apart. And, you know, to me, that speaks to someone who walked to people who walked into that room thinking this is going to go great, and they just weren't prepared for the questions.
Wow. You know, Jeff, as a marketing professional, no doubt in college you studied New Coke, did you not? For the uninitiated, in 1985, Coke changed their recipe and rolled out with Bill Cosby, of all people. Little did we know, as the face of New Coke, and it was an absolute branding disaster, was it not?
Yeah.
And they walked it back. They fixed it.
I mean, there have been examples of this type of thing over and over again throughout the history of marketing, and it's I mean, it's comical. It's some of my more favorite ones are a few years ago. I don't know if anybody remembers this. Budweiser had a Super Bowl commercial where they tried to label themselves a microbrew craft beer. And they went through all the things that like microbrew beer does and how Budweiser does it. And they're like, we're the largest beer on the planet, but we're also a microbrew. And it's like, nah, man, like this just doesn't work for a variety of reasons.
Did they say they were a macro brew or something?
Like, yeah, they try to like
we make lots of beer at once.
And so and that's what this is. And it's like you just have to realize like the message isn't resonating. How do we fix that? How do we solve the people that address and solve the problem with the people that are upset and then go forward? And I think that the biggest issue we have right now, and you guys have talked about it, T-Bone talked about it, is that no one's coming out and doing that. No one's taking that first step of saying like, we understand people are upset and we're sorry. You know, you have Dr. Pete that's come on and said some stuff, but like, there's never been a wholesale recognition of like, look, this wasn't done right. And that, I think that step alone is the first step and everyone. I think.
So T-Bone, we're the radio guys here. Anyone reached out to you to try to massage the message here?
Maybe. And like Jeff, I can't share everything.
Okay.
But for sure, yes. I have talked to some people and I can tell you, and I'm guessing Jeff may have had similar interactions. I don't know. I don't think the entire front office is on board with this. I do not think at all. Certainly, I don't think the players are on board with this. I know a few of them had comments today, and what are they going to do? They just want to play soccer, and they would prefer not to have to answer questions about this. But of course, they're just going to say like, whatever. The guys who sign my checks, I support what they're doing. Yeah. I just want to get out there and play.
Yeah,
and that's fine. But I can tell you, I do not think the front office is all on board on this. I don't know what Jeff's feelings are on it. My personal feelings, just based on what I kind of know, yes. The league is stupid. They have a lot of dumb directives. Don Garber says a lot of stupid things. And I'm sure he loves the fact that yet another team has succumbed to the Europification of our naming nomenclature, whatever. But the Haslams, when they came in here, they asked supporters groups if they can change the colors of the team because they are so put off by the idea, as I understand it, of the black and gold because of the Steelers Browns thing.
Even though he owned the Steelers or was a part of owner of the Steelers.
Yes, it's almost like people can do more than one thing. It's crazy. But now I'm not saying that they are still on that. What I'm saying is I know that in conversations I've had over the last 2 years, that has come up repeatedly of them hinting at more or less the Haslams had at one point in their brains, is this even a thing we can do? And to some extent, I don't blame them, right? Like, you do have to get your hands around what you have. You have to understand your thing that you bought. And they are not by nature Crew fans and soccer people. So, okay, you asked that question. And then they were told roundly, no, you can't change the colors. They're the black and gold, right?
Yeah.
But then that set a bar of, well, we've got to change something because we need to fix this brand. I think at some point, wherever this was, either because of conversations they had with MLS or because of conversations they had when they were purchasing the team and looking at some of the financials over the years or looking at the situation from pre-court or whatever, they got it in their brains at some point during the purchase process. Well, we've got to fix the brand. The brand is broken. And so once they've made that, and again, I don't know if they're there now. I just think at some point they hit on that and it's really never left. And so they've now had to say, well, what can we do to fix the brand? And they just kind of assumed that had to be done without asking the fans, hey, do you want this fixed? Mm-hmm. Do you like this brand? Is there a problem with this brand?
Yeah.
Or when they're told, no, there's not a problem with that. That's not the problem. You know, they've just ignored it. So that to me is kind of where I think that we have to keep in focus here. The Haslams, as much as they've done a lot of good, they brought a lot of money to the table. They're getting the stadium built. That's all good. They still are very new to this, and I don't think they fully still understand what they've got here. So a lot of the people we're mad at, as much as they're selling it and spinning it and trying to sell us on it, I think a lot of it is coming from above their heads, where they're being told we have to fix this brand. And so they're going off that saying, well, how can we fix it? And then they're making dumb, bad decisions and the rollout's been poor. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't lay all this at the feet of the league office. I would lay some of it there. I do think some of this is in Berea.
And that's where it's, you can, I mean, use the Browns analogy, because remember, they floated and tried to do a rebrand with the Browns, and they engaged Spores on the, and I might not be getting all this right, but I believe they kind of floated that weird, you know, dog that sort of looks like a pig thing as a new primary logo, did it out as a test balloon, got destroyed. And so they just rolled that out as a secondary one, and they changed the shade of orange, and they kept the, and they, I think they made the helmet, you know, the helmet and face mask gray, but didn't really make anything but, you know, just really surface level changes to the brand, and then did do, you know, New Jersey styles. And now 2 years after they did the New Jerseys, they're back to the same jerseys that they usually had. And that maybe is silver lining, that, you know, they will learn some lessons. But it seems so odd that they kind of go through that experience with the Browns, get the pushback that they did, and then say, well, we're going to do this in Columbus with a market that we know, to the point that everyone's made, you know, hammering it down, that saved the crew. And then think, no, we don't need to have that same level of engagement in this process as we had with the Browns one.
Well, if there's any brand that you cannot change in professional sports, it's an iconic NFL brand. And the Browns, as much as they've struggled for most of our lifetimes, there's nothing you can do with, you can't, it is what it is, you know. And they put the Cleveland on the jersey, and they've tweaked it here and there, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's the helmet. And what makes it so great is that it's nothing, but everybody knows what it is. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're doing some sort of forensic examination of marketing disasters, Jeff, is what we're doing. You know, we're not, at the end of the day, we're just like smacking ourselves in the head. You know,
yeah.
The gift bags went out. T-Bone, did you get a gift bag?
Sorry, I was on mute again. I did not, because I'm at home, but the radio station did get gift bags, and my co-host promptly threw it in the trash. So,
okay.
Like I told him, I was like, do you realize you lost out on hundreds and hundreds of dollars of merchandise? Those t-shirts are worth $42 a piece. My God.
Jeff, did you get it? Jeff, did you get a gift bag at any point during this process?
Oh, no.
I didn't either. You know, I don't know. You know, forgive me. All right. Thank you, Jeff, for your insight so much.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Jeff.
It.
Thank you for everything you do, man.
And hopefully in the next few days you can fix all this. Can you do that?
I'm going to try.
All right. Fair enough.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
T-Bone, you know, you and I are on the radio, and, you know, speaking for myself, I've supported this team since the beginning. Used to have the players' open door policy. Come in whenever you want. Frankie Hita, Brian McBride, Kyle Martino used to come on my show and play his guitar. You know, I've been nothing but a friend to them. And I've always thought that they've done a pretty lousy job of outreach to media. And that's not, you know, that's just me whining, I guess, but it's like, what do I have to do to?
Oh, you're right. I mean, we at the sports station, I mean, until we became like official partners with them, they would occasionally swing around with like the brats when there was like dollar brat day. They would, you know, they go to all the morning shows and drop those off. But or we get a scarf, I think, maybe at the start of the season, like two scarves or something. But no, I mean, the reality is I know Pat wants to get to something too, but one thing I will just add is you're asking a lot of people if they got gift bags. How many fans, how many season ticket holders got anything like what Katie Witham got or what our station got or what all these TV news people got? they're giving gifts to people who they think can help influence and sell those.
Right.
They're not giving the gifts that to the supporters who have been there for them through all the last few years. And I know it's been a scarf here. If you go to the stadium, they give you a scarf. Like, why is that not sent to your house? Why is there not just a gift bag, a little box, couple notes in it, a picture from a player that's autographed, and oh, here's a scarf and here's a t-shirt, and you don't have to go anywhere to pick this up because you're a valued supporter and we paid the extra $5 to ship it to you.
Hey, my wife and I put our money where our mouths are. We bought season tickets. I got an email today with the media assets, as they call them.
Ooh, an email.
Yeah, that's what I got. I got an email. I know Alex is fired up and he wants to cancel his season tickets. I don't, because my wife and I and my kids grew up in Crew Stadium. You know, they're all young adults now, but we still enjoy going. It's like a big date night for us. And that's going to continue speaking for us because we enjoy it so much.
Well, can I ask you a question about that? Because here's the thing. There is a chasm in between having season tickets and never watching the team, right? Like, mm-hmm. like I have thought about giving up my season tickets and then just buying them on StubHub so I don't have to give the front office the money and go to 2 or 3 or 4 games a year, whatever I can get to when I want to. And maybe I buy 10 tickets and get a whole group of people to come with me or whatever. Like, I'm just saying, I think some people have missed that when you hear supporters like Alex or myself or whoever say, I might be done with my season tickets. That doesn't mean never go to a game. That doesn't mean I'll never do any. It just means I don't know if I'm ready to give 17 weekends over to these people that don't seem to give two rats asses about what we have to say. And I don't mean me as a media member. I mean, me as a fan. I mean, Alex is a fan. I mean, Bart is a fan. I don't know that that's how I feel, or knowing that they've treated people who are even way more involved than I am the way that the supporters have been treated, the way that the leaders of these supporters groups were dealt with through all this.
Exactly.
That's where I am as a frustrated fan right now, is I don't know if I would just want to give you my money for the entire year up front. I want you to work for it. I want you to put cool promotions together that make me want to come to the games. I want you to make it easier for me to get in and out. I want you to not screw around with stuff. And largely they hadn't been until this. And that's what's so disheartening.
And I'll tell you what, you know, T-Bone and I, you know, to get radio people to pay for anything is a monumental achievement. And here they've done it. And now we're like, you know, I mean, we're always looking to work the angles, aren't we? You know it. Well, I agree. It makes me so mad that supporters like Alex and Bart are being treated like complete garbage.
One thing I want to circle back on, this whole idea of canceling season tickets. I mean, this is something that the last 2 days I have been giving a lot of thought to, and it breaks my heart in a lot of ways. It's not something that, you know, I didn't even want to tweet it because it was like, I don't want to even put it out there. For people who don't know me, I was like the banner guy in Nordeca for 7 or 8 seasons. And my brother and I would show up at the stadium 3 hours before kickoff. And doesn't matter if it was pouring rain or 110 degrees out there, we would hang up every single banner in the entire section, took an hour. And
that's because you don't like to tailgate.
Cut them all down. We would cut them all down and we would put them all away. Well, you don't tailgate after the game as much, but we would still do it. And you know, I gave blood, sweat, and tears to this team. Love this club. Been a fan since 1996. But, you know, I think everybody, or at least most people, have been in some sort of a relationship, whether it's with a significant other or with a friend or something. And you are trying so hard to make it work, and it's not working, and the person who is hurting you is unwilling to change. And at a certain point, you have to kind of make a call where it's like, am I going to keep putting up with this, or am I going to have to move on? And at a certain point, a lot of people move on. And, you know, I'm kind of to that point now with this front office where, you know, we just went through this with Anthony Precourt and Andy Lochnane. And I really don't want to go through it again with Jimmy and Dee Haslam. If this is the way that they're going to treat us as fans, as, hey, we are going to do the smart thing to make short-term money, and we don't care what you think because we know you're going to go along with it anyway, then I'm not going to go along with it. And I'm going to go do other things with my time and money, and I'll show up to Crew games when I feel like it, and I won't when I don't. But you know, they are alienating a lot of people, not because of the logo. I think everybody's talking about the logo. The logo sucks. Okay. It is horrible. The logo is a byproduct of a process that alienates the fans. Okay. The logo is what you get when you treat fans like garbage and when you don't listen to fans. The logo is not the problem. It's that process that led to the logo. That's the problem. If I don't get a strong sense from this ownership group in the next couple of days here, that they understand that that process is broken and that that process needs to change and that they need to be fan centric, like they said they were going to be for the last 2 years, then I'm done. And I'll show up when I feel like it. And when I don't, I'll stay home and I'll do other things with my time and my money.
And Alex, the current, you know, banner guy, the Nordic creative director, friend of the pod, Tifo Czar, Ethan McKinley, resigned yesterday because of this. And he is the person who over throughout the Save the Crew movement, I mean, did thousands, literally thousands of Two Sticks banners that were sent all across the globe around Save the Crew, took over, rolled into Nordect after they saved the team, and has been the driving force behind every rail banner, every TIFO that you've seen over the last 2 years. He's out. He has spent a lot of money, and you know, someone, I'm not sure we didn't ask Jeff. He's gone now. If someone has filled in that, I don't believe someone has stepped up for that. And they're going to have a new stadium that's got a great new TIFO rigging system. And if you see any TIFO up there, if you see any banners, I think it's safe to assume that, you know, the front office and the team made those, and that's fine. Because they're not going to have fans pour their money, pour their time, pour their hours, especially. I mean, if you've seen the statement, his statement has, you know, been all over social media. The way that they've treated him, it's heartbreaking, man. This guy is the biggest Crew fan I've ever met.
And it's par for the course. And, you know, I tweeted this out a couple of days ago. I hope they don't hang a single banner in that new stadium, because if they are going to make these decisions with our history and with, you know, something that we love just to try to make a buck, then we're going to take that buck back from them by making sure that there are bare rails all across that new Nordeca, and they can use all of the marketing photography that they want. And it's going to look like crap, because the people who give that atmosphere that they market and sell the team, that's the hard work of people like Ethan, who, you know, take, you know, unpaid labor, their own money for that paint and that fabric. You know, that's not provided by the club. That's people who, you know, work hard during the day and then at night spend their free time and their free money to support the club. And then they take photos of it and use it to sell more tickets. If they're not even going to care about people like that, then, you know, you're on your own at that point as an organization and as a business. The timing of this, I just cannot get over. Because when you really stop and you think about it, they were so close to launching the stadium in 3 weeks ago. We were all talking about how excited we were, and everybody was talking about this new stadium. And now no one is talking about the new stadium. They're talking about a logo that, when you look at all these polls, is like 94 to 96% unfavorable, right? So you're talking about, you know, so much of this market that you're trying to attract hates this new thing. That's all anybody is talking about. All they're seeing is this drama. All they're seeing is an inept business. And you're going to try to fill out that stadium in a couple of months? They're not going to do it. You know who's going to get blamed for it? It's the fans. It feels exactly like life under Anthony Precourt. And, you know, it's so, so disappointing. I hope they learn from it. I don't feel like they will.
Sam, you probably can't wait for Taylor Twellman's snarky tweets, because here they come. He and Alexei Lawless, right?
Two people that I don't really care what they say in any form.
Alexei put out a story on Twitter.
Well, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, it was
without comment.
It was just he linked to the story on his on his Twitter feed.
Good. Now, Sam, I know this is important because you rarely weigh in on this podcast. So I want you to have the floor.
So I to a certain degree, I agree and then also disagree with Alex. But this has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about. I was going to write about it, but I'm not the writer. I'm the photographer. So I'll just talk about it. There are two things that I've noticed in people's response to this. There has been response from people who are casual fans of the Columbus Crew or fans of Columbus sport that are like, why is everybody so mad? Why is this so serious? Why is this? And after going through how 2017 went, this feels a lot like how 2017 went without the prospect of losing a team. This is a fan base, especially the hardcore, the people that like Patrick and myself and Smitty that have covered the events as the events unfolded and hearing the back ends of things. We've got some trauma. We've got some trauma that we have to deal with. And it's not like, I don't want to express it in the strong words of people that are going through actual trauma from abuse, from a variety of things, but this is a fan base that is trying to process through trauma. We got stabbed in the back once, and I'm going to say we, because my issue with Precord is definitely I take on a personal level. But this is, and look, from a, let's skip the tradition and the history of whatever the previous two logos are. From a design standpoint, which I do a lot of, this is trash. This is uneven. It's non-symmetric. It has a Dorito on the bottom that we have no idea what the fuck it's doing. And
it likes the F bomb.
A Dorito.
I just want right.
to. Yes, it does. Sam told us not to drop the F bomb, and then he drops the F bomb.
I dropped it once. I will take responsibility for that.
I just wanted to say, Sam, that honestly, that little triangle thing, it looks like something on a Tostitos bag. Where right. they're like, it's festive and yay, yeah. and it's like, why is it there? We don't know. We just threw it in there because triangles are in the bag. Like, it's unrelated to anything, and no one has an explanation for it, by the way. I've heard that from multiple people who are cool, in the process.
It's a cool beard, no man.
But you hit exactly on where I was going with next, is that there are so many why questions that they are unable to answer. Why? Why the Dorito? Why this process? Why go it in the way they did? Why did you think that this was going to be acceptable? And again, this is a result of us trying to process through the trauma of what 2017 was and feeling like, oh, we had, because you know what, before 2017, we had what we thought was probably one of the greatest, one of the better owners in MLS, right? He was doing a lot of really good things. He was hiring a lot of right people who
drinking beer with supporters, man.
Right. Drinking beer with supporters, doing all the right things. So we get this new ownership and we're going through new stadium, new jersey. We won a cup. They're hiring some really, really smart people, which is another point I'm going to get to. They're hiring some really smart people. And then you get this, and it's the blindsidedness that really triggers a lot of this, like, visceral reaction. The other thing is, as I read more explanation, and I read a couple of things from Tim Bezbachenko, that I'm like, you are a very smart man. Why? Like, how did you think that this is okay? How did you think that you could not burn through goodwill in this manner? And this is probably the worst of it. And again, why a lot of people are so mad. And I can see Alex, he has his arm folded and there's smoke coming out of his ears. It's like, it's one thing to try different things. It's another thing to blindside and Molotov cocktail at bridge that is probably your strongest bridge, and that has, quite frankly, I will say, proven that they have a lot of power around the world. And then you just, like, throw this cocktail bomb and be like, wait, you guys are mad because I burnt this bridge? Like, because I set it on fire? What do you mean you can't cross, you know, through fire to get to the other side? And you know, we meet in the same thought space. So this is my horse, and I will step off of it now, or my soapbox, and I will step off of it. These American idiom, whatever. English is my second language, just in case you were wondering. So, yes, I'm processing, and I'm sure others are processing through the trauma of having to relive getting sucker punched by an ownership group.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll hang up and listen.
I'm with you, Sam. I remember just being so angry about the the crew leaving. And I don't know, after the last 4 or 5 years we've been through, I'm sort of numb at this point to everything. But yeah.
And that's not a good spot to be as a sports fan, by the way. You shouldn't have to feel that way as a sports fan. Right. I'm not numb with any other sports team, except maybe like when the Browns were really, really
Browns?
Bad. Who happened to also be owned by Jimmy Haslam. Crazy.
They were bad before then.
True.
Well, let's put a bow in this. And, you know, Ori wants to talk about the actual games. Are you still there, man?
Yeah, I've been right? I've been silent here. I was listening to all you guys. I think y'all made some really great points.
Well, I know we're going to get to you more in a few moments because we have actual matches to talk about, which I still get a great deal of joy in watching. I think I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing this stuff, and I still love what this club has done with the players and building this roster, and they're easy to cheer for. And that kind of keeps me hanging in there. But Ori, you did have a point that you wanted to make.
Ori, before you go real quick, give me 1 second. My wife is sitting on the other side of my room here with at her computer, and she just heard my rant and sent me a very concerned face text message.
What, about your F-bomb? Which I'm still shocked.
No, definitely not that. Just the process.
All right. Well, you are a parent. The F-bombs are going to fly every so often.
Well, he's the producer. He can bleep it himself when he edits.
That's true.
So if he wanted to do that, he could. But since we're an hour in, well, I'll remind you guys of our sponsor, Saucy Brewworks, the best bar in Columbus and place to be in the world. If you're Brewworks, then why not be saucy with it? But if you want to hear my full take on this whole thing.
Yes, I do. I
did on the podcast called Stateside Soccer Show. So after you listen to this podcast, go listen to what I said on there. But, you know, I do graphic design for Massive Report, which is on our Instagram account. I look at every MLS logo essentially every single day. And I can say, without a doubt, this new crew logo is easily the worst one. I mean, it is a nightmare with how narrow it is. The design is simplistic. It's unimaginative. And the SC on the bottom just drives me insane. And you can see they want to get away from the yellow. There's no yellow kit this year. 3 months later, just a yellow border around the banner shaped Ohio flag shape, which this looks like a logo that you would make in like NCAA football 11 when all they had to have was 10 shapes available. And all you can do is stick letters in there. The triangle, the only thing that I could say about the triangle is it's basically there because they probably saw some dead space in that corner and were like, we have to fill the dead space.
Well, Ori, let me ask you this as somebody who does this. So their whole pitch on this was that they created this font, right? The 9-6 font.
9-6 font, yeah.
Yeah, and we saw that in the Columbus crew or the crew logos. We talked, Alex wanted to talk about it when that video came out.
I should have been more mad than I was. You guys were all like, oh, don't be mad. It's just a font. Hold on. You were wrong. I was right.
Listen to my point here. So they came out with this font. They made these graphics, which are hanging on the stage, and they're all around the stadium now. The C in the logo isn't the same font. It looks like read about this today. It looks like a graffiti art design, and it's because it doesn't fit is my only way I can figure it out.
Can I just add real quick? I think my design friends would say the reason for that is because that's an icon. That is just that's the centerpiece. That is a different thing than the font they're using for everything, which again is stupid.
Yep.
When you design your icon to be a letter that is in the other part of the look, it's just.
Yeah.
Post it around the city today. Like what?
Right.
Oh, I know. Dude. This goes back to the tone deafness of the way they delivered this, where the fans are like, we hate this. And they're like, move up the release. No. Put it on everything in the city. Is that what you said? And it's like, I have children. And when I say to my children, like, please go to your room and pick up your room. And they go, instead of going upstairs to their room, they go downstairs. And I go, that's not where your room is. What are you doing? Oh, Dad, I'm just turning off the Xbox. And then they turn on the Xbox and they start playing it. And it's like, I said to clean your room. And they're like, no, I will. I just have to save something on the Xbox. And it's like, okay, this is me saying it patiently. Like, please go upstairs. Like, parents can relate to this, where they're just like the opposite.
Oh, I feel you.
Said, and it's like, why? Why are you antagonizing me? Little kids do that. Little kids who don't know any better do that. And you have to like help them learn how to be like decent humans. Grown-up billionaires don't do this, or they shouldn't. Someone should tell them to stop doing it. And it just.
Yep. You clearly don't know that many grown-up billionaires. I hang out with them all the time.
You're right.
And you're right. All the time. And the last two points I wanted to bring up before you can go ahead, Bart. The C's that were going up in the arena district also had the triangles, and people are like filling them out, making them look like Q's and G's. And then in regards to the name, the crew moniker, this was the tagline to help save the team. And at the same time, this is the identity of this team for more than a quarter century. I was born 1 month after the crew played its first game. I've known this.
It's the only thing on the crest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the thing on the crest. I'm about to be 25, and it's 25 years I've existed on this world and known it as the crew. And at the same time, you think about the last year when we were all dealing with the pandemic here across the globe, and in Columbus specifically, this was one of the lucky cities that had a team to celebrate a championship with. And you had that entire 2020 filled with joy. You had fans sacrifice, you know, health and safety, even though it was very safe outside, but still, we're in the period of the pandemic where cases were going up. When you got to the playoffs, when you got to MLS Cup, people came and supported your team and celebrated with your team. And at the same time, if they wanted to do this rebrand, why not announce it before the season, not in the middle of May, when you have all the momentum going for you? You have a great team that is undefeated, the only team that was in CCL and MLS that's still undefeated in the league after three games. You've got a brand new stadium, a great roster. And it's a shame that we had a press conference Tuesday afternoon and Caleb Porter's being asked about rebrands. And all he can say is, I'm the coach. That's what the team is about. We love this team.
Mm-hmm. Or you know why they did it? I and this is just my guess, but this was a convenient time in the middle of what, six games in 19 days to put this out, see what happens, and then you have games in quick succession that hopefully help it blow over. I have to think that was a part of the decision.
We will see what the score bug for the Toronto game looks like, and I think we'll have the new logo in there because MLS has the new logo. The Columbus Crew site has the new logo, and Columbus Crew's Twitter or the Crew Twitter or at Columbus Crew posted the preview for the Toronto match, and they're using the new logo as well. So it's very possible that literally that game against DC United is the last game where the second crest will be the official badge of the team. And this new crest will be implemented on Wednesday.
I was told I got a few people buzzing me about that after I tweeted about that today. And they said, the plan is that the jersey will have the outdated, confusing circular logo that says we're the crew like idiots
all year.
Everything graphic wise, like what you just mentioned, the Twitter, everything officially, the league standings on the website, our logo on the league website, that will be the new logo for the rest.
Which it doesn't fit in, right?
It doesn't. Oh my God, don't even get me started on that.
Right. So again, they wanted to break real clear that they have a clear identity going into the new stadium. And when that team takes the new field in the new stadium with all the new logo on the new stadium on the outside, on the inside, the team that's going to run out there in their stadium logo jersey is going to have the old crest on it that's so old and outdated that we can't even bring it into the new stadium. We had to rush this logo. Like, again, why not just do this at the end of the year or in the beginning of this year and put it on all the jerseys? Like,
the MLS season.
I hate it, but they could have done that if they wanted to.
The MLS season was delayed because of the CBA. They had extra time to put this out. Yep. They had a month extra.
Mid-April, the season started.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. That was the biggest confusing thing to me. And, like, I understand the dislike and everything. But like, that was the most confusing thing to me when I found out this was coming out on Tuesday, then Monday, was just, why now? What are you doing? Like, why are you doing this now? It just, I don't understand it, other than they wanted it to be in the middle of a match congested period. They do have a new identity, and that new identity is, thank you so much for standing up and speaking out and saving your team. Now sit down and shut up. We what they are saying to every crew fan.
I'm looking at the MLS official website game preview for Toronto tomorrow, and it has the new logo next to our
That they sent us every week. The game notes they send us every week has the new logo on it this week. Yeah.
And I'm having to play around with all the different logos that I got now for our graphics. And theoretically speaking, because the old logo is still on the jersey, I can use the old logo. And let me tell you something about centering people. That new logo with how narrow and tall it is, with the rest of the MLS logos being thick and bulky. Don't take that out of context. It just is nice and centered.
Mm.
The new one, it drives me nuts. And it's so hard to size them right and everything.
I just say put the old logo on there. I say, yeah.
I have the old logo for some stuff, and I'm incorporating the elements of the new logo in some smaller detailed things like standings and other stuff.
I told the new logo to just use the old logo.
Yeah, I have a mixture. You'll see it. You'll see tomorrow.
All right. We got to put a bow on this.
Unless
anybody else has anything else to say.
Just the quickie, Brian.
All right.
Just to the point, and again, we're all, you know, beating a dead horse at this point, but I just want to read from Tim Bezbachenko here saying, I think the crew, we're doubling down that it's going to show up in some really fun places. I hope your articles, you know, talk about the crew, and we use them interchangeably, but we felt like the names together, Columbus and the crew, one of the other got lost, and we weren't really able to focus on the city and what the city does for the club. And I will just say, as a person who, if we're going to create the false dichotomy of you need to choose either Columbus or the crew, because me just person here, and I can associate crew with the soccer team here, or I can associate Columbus with the soccer team. I can't do them both. Then in the year 2021, as a person who's read Howard Zinn and is somewhat familiar with, has just a passing familiarity with the namesake of our fair city, I would choose the crew. Okay. If I've got to do just one of those things, Columbus or the crew, I'm going with the crew.
That's a good point. Oh, you guys are so smart. You're smarter than me. I'm glad you're here, because this would have been a disaster if I'm just sitting here flapping my gums.
Isn't that what you do for a living?
Yeah, I do. I do. And it's mostly nonsense. I always say I'm just a dumb DJ. That's all I am. You guys carry me every week. T-Bone was here to help carry me as well. Do you have to go?
Yeah, I can get out of here. So you guys,
no, you don't have to go. I'm just saying, do you have to go? I don't, children.
I can hang out for a few more minutes.
All right. I remember what that was like, you know, how old are your kids?
Too old and too young. I've got one that's almost a teenager and one that's less than 2 years old. So.
Oh yeah. Got your hands full.
Yeah. It's nuts over at
our all right. Crazy, so. Well, are we done with this or? I think we are. I don't know.
Let's talk soccer.
Do we talk about the games?
Soccer.
Do we have any more time? I mean, I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning.
All the time that you can handle.
Right. Let's just dive into these next games. People know what happened in the last two games. Let's
own goal was the man of the match on Saturday. There were no banners in Nordeca. They beat DC United 3-1. There. Summary.
We got own goal on quick Tam loan.
Yeah, 10 out of 10 in my game grades.
I will.
Yeah, let's talk about what's upcoming.
I will actually duck out so you guys can do that. But thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime, T-Bone. Thank you so much. I appreciate your insights and all that you do. And good luck with the kids.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jonathan.
All right. See you guys later.
See ya. Right. That was T-Bone. Did a great job. As did Jeff. So we're an hour and a half into this. I agree. Mm-hmm. I will just say that the match on Saturday proved that you know, teams are going to look at tape and they're going to go, we cannot foul the crew at the top of the box. We can't do it because they will make us pay.
That was, and again, we don't have to talk about this game very long, but the way and where they have us seated for the press, we're above the stage directly, you know, my seat was directly in line with Zellerayan lining that free kick up. And he stood over that ball, and there was no doubt in my mind by the way he just confidently set the ball down, backed up. Like, it was like watching Cristiano Ronaldo take a free kick. Like, it was going in, no doubt. And, you know, he was like, the goalkeeper's a little farther left. And I was like,
yeah, I was going to say, he was hugging his post, and he was way late on the dive because he didn't hit it upper 90. He hit it perfectly in the side. But yeah, you felt that that was going to go in. And hey, yeah. Last time Lucas Ellerand scored the first goal in an MLS season, it went well.
Yeah. And as the match went along, you know, we certainly gave up some of those, but DC United had none of that. And that's really, you know, that is our nuclear weapon. I mean, and so they're going to back off of him and back off of everybody else going forward, because you cannot give up those chances to Columbus Crew. Can I say Columbus Crew? You cannot give up those chances to Columbus Crew, because you will pay. And I think that was the lesson of that match. Ola Kamara scores for DC United, because of course, you know, we live in a ridiculous universe, probably the funny simulation.
The funny thing with his goal was he started to celebrate and then like realized it was his first time playing against the Crew and like pulled up and put his arms up in the air. And, you know, I want to say Ola was always a classy guy to cover. And you know, he did lie to myself and Andrew Erickson the one time when we asked him about the rumors that he wanted to leave for more money. But other than that, I really liked Ola, and I appreciated the fact that like instinct took over. He started to celebrate, and that was like, oh, wait. I'm here. I'm in front of the Crew fans. I made, you know, basically made his best parts of his career there. So I think fans should appreciate that fact from him. I don't think Kai would do the same thing. I'll just put that.
No. Not that he would score a goal here.
Did you see, related to Kai real quick, did you see that the Crew or MLS or somebody tweeted out like a heart-shaped hands image on one of the buildings, and Kai said,
you're not even
a mural. Yeah. He said, you're not even going to tag me in that, as if he invented heart-shaped hands.
Oh, my God.
I think Justin Bieber was doing that before Kai Kamara.
Oh, my God.
Gareth Bale was doing that. He's at Tottenham trying to trademark it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. All right.
I think it was just an homage to Justin Bieber, actually, Murph. I think that's right. That was, again, that's something that came out in the same study that they did for the new crest. They found that Columbus residents just love Biebs, and that they needed to kind of tap into that to be successful in this market. So.
God, you know, in context there, do you think the Crew think it's too late now to say sorry?
That's no, it's not. Ooh. I mean, you look at...
Ow. Yeah. Wow.
Okay,
so funny.
Sam, I gotcha. End the pod.
A Justin Bieber reference on
we're
the
done.
J-Board
podcast. We're done here. We're done here.
We're done. No predictions, we're done.
That's a beautiful thing.
This is what you've done to us.
Real quick, Toronto is... and we're early on, but they are 12th out of 14 in the Eastern Conference. And I can't help but think, you know, not that I would ever feel sorry for Toronto, but, you know, they and the other Canadian teams have basically been homeless for months and months and months. And it's got to be kind of starting to wear on them a little bit. And where are we playing this game? I forget. We're playing it in Florida, right?
Yeah, it will be at the Exploria Stadium in Orlando. And a fun fact, this will be the fourth straight Trillium Cup game in a different location. Columbus, Toronto, Connecticut, and now Florida.
Yeah, I completely forgot about it. Does anyone care about the Trillium Cup anymore?
Not really. I mean, it's just sort of like a rivalry, but Toronto
only
FC...
Only if it's got a little triangle hanging off of it.
Yeah, we need the little triangle for the Trillium. But Toronto FC is, again, one of those teams that were trying to juggle CCL with MLS play. And, you know, I think we have to say that of the five MLS clubs that have had to juggle CCL and MLS, the Crew have been the most successful. They're one of four undefeated teams in the league, along with Seattle, Nashville, and Orlando. But Toronto's dealing with a lot of injuries. MVP Alejandro Pozuelo hasn't played yet this year. Josie Altidor got sick, I believe, after the Club Leon tie or after playing Cruz Azul. So he might not play. And Jossie Zard has talked about him, and he really wants to play against him. He's like a brother to him, obviously, with their time with the U.S. men's national team. But Toronto has obviously tried to adapt a new system under Chris Armas, trying to get to the high press, similar to what he did with the Red Bulls. But it's very much like the way we see the Crew without Lucas Ellerayan. Toronto without Alejandro Pozuelo, you lose your best offensive spark, and it's going to be tough for the Columbus Crew against Toronto FC. But I think it'll be a little bit easier than what it usually is. Toronto has had the edge of this rivalry, but also to your point, Brian, regarding these teams being homeless, it's a little bit easier for the likes of Toronto and Montreal, who are in Florida now, and Vancouver in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
They have apartments, their families are there with them. It's not like last year where they were stuck in hotels by themselves for months on end. And that's something that Caleb Porter brought up after Toronto lost to Nashville in the playoffs. They probably were just emotionally, mentally exhausted. They missed their families. And you could see in the way that they played in that playoff game against Nashville, that they just didn't have enough in them. They wanted to go home. But now at least they're settled in and makes the transition a little bit easier, but it'll be a tough game for the Crew on Wednesday with rotation. No Milton Valenzuela again at left back. He's still injured. Perry Kitchen's going to be out as well for a lengthy time. Jossie Zardes' shoulder still hurts. He told me that it's going to hurt for a couple more weeks after that collision against Monterey. But this will be a little bit of an easier game against TFC than we've seen in the past because Pozuelo's probably not going to play.
Yeah, Patrick, we're already beat up. So, you know, as to my point, like 3 hours ago, that I really appreciate what the front office has done as far as building this team. And that's why all this other stuff is so confusing to me, because they've been so on it and they knew exactly what they needed to do. From your standpoint, Patrick, anybody in the starting 11 you think tomorrow that might be a surprise because of the injuries? What are we looking at?
I think you'll see surprises just because of rotation. You know, Caleb said today that this was a game that they had kind of designated to rotate anyway, just because of, not because of the opponent, but because of the, you know, the way the schedule's laid out. You know, they just need to make it through Sunday's game against New England. And, you know, hopefully you can get some points out of both of those games, both games on the road. Then you get into a more normal schedule of, you know, playing once a week for a while and you have an off week in there. But yeah, I mean, Ori kind of went over some of the injuries, but I think rotation wise is where you're going to see some surprises. I do think Jossie Zardes will play because he spoke to us today, and that is usually an indicator of a guy that they think will play. Not always, but another guy was Darlington Nagbe. So that's the biggest position, I think, that is in trouble right now. Darlington Nagbe and Artur. They don't have Perry Kitchen. They don't have Aiden Morris. Liam Frazier cannot play because of his loan deal against Toronto, who they play in like two of their next four games. So asking Artur and Darlington Nagbe, both guys coming off injuries, to keep going, you know, 60, 70 minutes in a match is tough when they're coming this fast. So they just need to make it through this next two games and kind of get back into a normal schedule where, you know, guys can get their normal recovery time and, you know, training too. Caleb talked about that a lot today. They've hardly had time to practice other than that like week or 10-day gap between the end of the Champions League and between the Philadelphia game and the second Champions League game. They just haven't, you know, had a lot of time to prepare for teams other than walkthroughs and, you know, day before game type training. So it'll be good to get through Sunday if they can make it unscathed.
The Revs lose 2-0 on Saturday to Nashville, and they have to play tomorrow as well, which is certainly a help there because it is a quick turnaround. We go on the road twice, go to Florida, go to New England. The Revs were certainly improved last year. Ori, how do you see them?
Revs are good. They're one of the best teams in the league, I'd say. They've looked solid defensively. You know, they've only conceded. They had a draw with Chicago, conceded two, clean sheet against DC, one against Atlanta, and then obviously the 2-0 loss to Nashville in Nissan Stadium. But New England definitely has a challenge up happening because Philly on Wednesday, and yeah, they finally have to play against a Philly team that doesn't have to worry about CCL until August. I mean, they're the only MLS team still in the CCL. They're going to play Club America in the semis in August and September. But that's it. Philly can focus on the MLS season. They can improve their standing in the table. Sure, right now Philly has one win and are in 10th, but New England is a good, solid squad. They're in second place, 7 points to start the season, which, you know, to be fair to Columbus, the fact that only they haven't scored a single goal in open play from an actual Columbus player because Zellerayan free kick and two own goals, and they're still undefeated and only 2 points behind the top two teams in the East, New England and New York City, their next two opponents after Toronto in the midweek game. That's impressive to them, but those two road games are going to be really, really important. They have to get 3 points on the road. They haven't had that true road win yet in MLS play. They didn't have it in 2020. They haven't had it since, you know, late 2019. They didn't get it against Montreal. But they're playing against Toronto. And the Revs game is also unique because this will be the first time Columbus is playing an MLS game not in Columbus or Florida in God knows how long. And there'll be actual fans of the Revs there, so it'll be more of a hostile MLS environment. Whereas the only really hostile
Seattle game, right?
The Seattle
game pre MLS is back.
In terms of away fans, maybe not. I think there were road fans at the Orlando City game that was the day after the presidential election, which was their last loss in MLS play. And that started the streak of them playing like every MLS game in Florida or Columbus. So, but the Revs game is going to be a big challenge, and it will finally though end that six games in 19-day stretch. They can actually have a full week to prepare for New York City and be able to sort of start to get into more of a rhythm of training and recovery and then having a game day and not dealing with all this congestion.
Yeah. So this is a challenging few days for the crew to get through. We need to make our picks and we need to get out of here. We've been flapping our gums for way too long. I'm about ready to fall over. Is everyone still with me? All right, good. Let's go sane to insane. Insane clown posse. Let's start with the sane clown posse. Let's start with Murph. Murph, you got a pick for the game? We'll do them both. Toronto tomorrow and then New England on Sunday.
I think of those two, I feel more confident about the crew winning against Toronto just because, as Ori said, that's a team that's also had a lot of matches already this year, already beat up. So I'll say 2-1 crew in Florida against Toronto, and then I will say a 1-1 draw against New England on Sunday, and they make it through 4 points, which is probably a best case scenario. I mean, I guess 6 points is obviously the best case scenario, but a really good scenario. And then, like I said earlier, you have that time to kind of get in a normal.
All right, Ari.
I think if I'm the crew, I'm a little more confident going into the Toronto game just because you can exploit their weaknesses, you know, a little bit defensively they've had recently, but also the fact that the crew defense will be able to not have as much to deal with without Pozuelo. I think Columbus will win in Florida against Toronto. I'll go with 1-0 for that game. And I think it'll be another set piece. I think they still don't have an open play goal from an actual crew player after that Wednesday game. And then for Sunday's Revolution game, which will be on ESPN2, by the way. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of talk about the rebrand on there. But, you know, an Eastern Conference final rematch, let's not forget, should be a great game from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough against the Crayon logo, the only original MLS logo still in the league. But I think it's going to be a tough match against New England, and I think that one will end. Also, I'll agree with Pat, a 1-1 draw. I think 4 points is a really, really good way to get out of this week, and then they finally can get into that rhythm. But if they can stay unbeaten after these two games, Columbus is right in that position where we kind of expected them to be at this point in the season.
Bart, do you think that the league has forgotten that New England Revolution is a team because they haven't messed with them at all?
I don't know. I think Don Garber and Bob Kraft go to the same massage parlor.
Ooh.
Allegedly. Oh. Parody.
I like it. That well said and enough said. Give me your picks.
I think the distraction created by the unnecessary rushed slapdash rebrand is going to, you know, create a distraction for these players along with, you know, short kind of compressed week travel. And I think Columbus Crew are going to lose both games. I think they are going to lose Wednesday in Florida. And I think they'll lose that game. We'll say 2-1 to Toronto.
Has Bart ever picked a loss before?
I don't think so.
Will pick a win, loss.
3-0 with heel with a couple with a brace. That's what this rebrand did to me, yo.
Oh my god! I'm just gonna put my head down at my desk now. I'm so depressed. Alex, give me should I look to Alex to give me some hope? I don't know. It's pretty fired up. Alex, what do you got?
I think Bart, unfortunately, may be correct that the fact that the team is voluntarily reaching out to radio stations to talk about how embarrassed they are by all of this. I think some of those players are potentially in a similar space to where we are, where, you know, they're just trying to enjoy the fact that they're champions and now they can't. And now they're in a hostile stadium again after Save the Crew. And they thought all that was behind them. So, you know, I think that they're going to get 1 point from two games. That's all I can give. I don't know what the 1 point is going to be, but I think it's going to be a loss and a draw. I think that the team has a very limited time to stop this from seriously spiraling out of control. It's bad right now, but, you know, think about where Save the Crew was like a week into Save the Crew and think where Save the Crew ended. Like, I don't think they understand like how long the tail on this thing is. So I hope that by next weekend, they do something to really mitigate the damage that they've done. I don't believe it's going to happen, but I think we're going to get 1 point from two games here. Unfortunately, we're not scoring. And you know, and the players are going to be in the dumps about all this stuff. So it's bad news.
All right. Sam, give me something here.
So I'm going to have to disagree with both Bart and Alex. I think the players, after what we've seen and heard through various channels, including from some of them personally, about their reaction to the presentation and what this trash dumpster fire of a logo is, I think they're pissed. I think they're pissed for being put in that position. And I think they take that anger out on Toronto, which is a very, very good team to take your anger out on.
Yes.
So I think they're going to win 2-1 against Toronto. And I think they're going to tie 1-1 against New England.
Very good. You're giving me hope. You know what? I'm going all in. 2-0, 2-0. 2-0, 2-0. They are going to take out their frustrations on both Toronto and New England, longtime rivals. And after that, all this would be forgotten. The little goatee or whatever you call that. What do you call that? Soul patch?
The bottom Dorito. Tostito.
Dorito. It will all be forgotten. Next week on the Massive Report podcast, we'll have good news. I don't know.
Just called the mistake by the Scioto instead of the mistake by the Lang.
It's never a dull moment. And all I look for now in my life is dull moments. I just want dullness. I don't want drama anymore. I have daughters. I've had plenty of drama in my life. I don't want any more. Please call this crew. Crew F's. What am I supposed to call them? I'm confused. Oh,
whatever you want.
Columbus Crew. Columbus Crew. Columbus
call Crew. Us
That's
whatever
what we always call them.
Call us the Zogs. That's before your time. We have a little team here called the Zogs. Maybe we go back to that. The Zogs. I still have the Zogs t-shirt.
The Zogs logo was better than that thing they rolled out.
Go Zogs. All right. Well, we got to get out of here. This is madness. Thanks to Saucy. Ori, you got your Saucy copy?
Saucy copy once again. Saucy Brewworks, best bar in Columbus, SC, and place to be in the world. Saucy Brewworks. If your brew works, then why not be saucy with it on 3rd Street, correct?
Like and subscribe, please. This is the longest ever Massive Report podcast, I think. Murph, right?
No.
Oh,
since you've been here, maybe, but we've definitely gone.
What the
hell?
We've
had some 3-hour episodes, I think.
I'd assume you guys had 3-hour episodes during Save the Crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That, well, and Matt got Save the Crew is pretty long.
All right. Well, it's true. I feel bad for Sam because he has to deal with all this bandwidth and.
He's got to go edit out his naughty word.
Yeah, the only person to drop an F-bomb tonight was Sam, and that's the end of that. All right, thanks to T-Bone from 97.1 The Fan. Thanks to Jeff Barger from the Nordeca.
Barger!
Barger. I lose again for giving us much needed perspective. Thanks for listening to the Mass Report Podcast. We'll be back next week, hopefully, to just talk about soccer. That would be wonderful.
Inshallah.
And until then, thank you for listening.